Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 155. 155 weeks of us bringing the hottest stories that Microsofties are pinging each other about. And I know last week we said that it was Paul's last episode, but in actuality, we lied. And with the magic of technology and Skype, we have brought Paul here virtually. It's almost better this way because we can hear his wisdom, but I don't have to smell his aroma. So I enjoy this much better. Thanks, Paul.
Nay, no problem. I thought my smell was what kept me on the show, not so much my words of wisdom.
No, totally backwards. So I feel like what you've done here, Paul, is like you pulled a Brett Favre, you know, where he said, I'm going to retire, but then he was like, no, I'm going to play. And he was like, I'm going to retire, and he's going to play. He was like, in and out. He's doing the hokey pokey. I feel like that's what you've done to us, where you tease us, you dangle the carrot, you tell us you're going to leave us alone, but then you're back.
Yeah, I most certainly had one foot out for quite some time, and now I have 2 feet out, but I'm putting one toe back in, so that's the hokey pokey reference. I think is pretty good.
So you're not here. You're actually, I'm in Seattle, and you are in California. Can you tell everybody what you're doing in California, besides sunbathing with movie stars?
Well, I mean, that only takes up the afternoon, but most of the time I'm just hanging out in a 1,800 square foot studio in downtown Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
I'm hanging out with my one of my best friends and my co-founder, Akrima. We just started a company called Mythly, and we are going to revolutionize digital interactive content on tablet devices.
Wow, humble.
Yeah, I mean, we are only probably going to be the next billion-dollar business, but if you want to get in now for the low price of $500 million, I'm sure we can cut you a deal.
Very nice. And I can see by the it looks like some sort of mental institution that you're in, that you've really gone to IKEA and really gussied up your new digs.
Yeah. This is a really nice studio space. So we will be doing some photo and video shoots. So we do have just plain white walls that we can.
Is that where you live?
Yeah, it's a live workspace. currently, my stuff is being held hostage by my moving company. So until I either pay them 3 times the rate that they quoted,
right,
or I find a good attorney, I will be crashing on an air mattress and also using that as my desk space.
Okay, so have you been wearing that clothing for a few days now as well?
Yeah, I've actually turned this inside out about 4 times, so I think it's now right side out.
Beautiful. Well, thanks for coming, and if this works out, hopefully we can have Paul on at least once or twice more than within the next year. I say we start the show.
Let's do it.
So, recently, the internet was ablaze and abuzz and all sorts of other sort of exciting words about the release of some new phones. We've got the Nokia Lumia 920. We've got, and of course, the new iPhone released its new operating system. It's the iPhone 5, right?
Yep, the iPhone 5 is the device, and I think it has iOS version 6 on it.
Very exciting. And so, naturally, some esteemed journalists have decided to take all the top competing phones and compare them to see what people might want to do. And Wired magazine, a very credited journal that I read. Do you read Wired?
I read whatever people send me links to. I don't really have any physical magazines or anything like that.
But you would agree that this is a credible news source.
Yeah, Wired is pretty good. They have a lot of very good in-depth pieces, and they do quite a bit of good research.
Great. So in their sort of side-by-side comparison where they took 4 phones, what are the results, Paul? What are they like?
It looks like there are 4 different phones.
But at the very bottom in the article, they say how lovely and beautiful, and I don't have it in front of me, but you probably do, you can quote it, how absolutely aesthetically pleasing and wonderful the Nokia Lumia 920 is.
Yeah, the Nokia Lumia 920 is getting a ton of amazing coverage and a lot of good social press. I've seen a number of different surveys that are either on Facebook. I think The Verge put one up on Facebook, and at the bottom of Wired.com, there was also a survey asking their reader base, "What do you think you're going to buy in this next roundup?" Mm-hmm. And 60% of the people, I think, in both the surveys from 2 independent sources, had said that they wanted to purchase the Nokia Lumia 920.
Yeah.
Whereas, like the iPhone, I think only had about 19%. The Galaxy S3 had about 11%. Yeah. So I was pretty surprised by that. So either, you know, this is going viral in like the Microsoft newsroom, or people are like genuinely excited about wanting to try out, you know, a pretty revolutionary device on the Windows Phone platform.
Yeah, which is amazing because, as you may know, I don't like change, and there are a lot of people out there in the world who also don't like change. And so to get people who are loyal customers of one type of phone to switch over to a Windows phone, I mean, that's tough to do. You know, it's not like we're starting on an even playing field here.
Yeah, especially when you have just, you know, such high return purchase rates as, you know, a lot of people that enjoy their smartphone today is like, you know what, I've had a great experience, I don't want to change. So if the Nokia Lumia 920 can get people to change over to Windows, that would be an incredible feat, and I think that would signal a lot of growth in the platform.
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend who recently broke her phone. It wasn't an iPhone, it was, I think it was a Droid. Regardless, she broke her phone, and I happened to have an extra Windows phone that I said, hey, why don't you use this rather than going out and buying a new phone? We're both on Verizon, blah, 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 use this phone. I literally was like pulling teeth to get this girl to accept the free phone I'm trying to give her. Now, granted, I'm such a good evangelist that I was successful, and she now is a fanatic about the Windows phone, but that's how difficult it was, I mean, to get someone to switch. So if people are reading reports and looking at the coverage for this, for the Nokia Lumia 920, which is very impressive, and that is going to get them to switch, I'm actually really happily surprised.
Yeah, yeah, I think that, you know, Microsoft actually has a very good quality product out there, you know, starting with Windows Phone 7, and now a lot of the very focused improvements that are in Windows Phone 8. So a lot of the quality and the actual quality of the device, I think, is lagging behind the market share, which is kind of the opposite of what Microsoft is known for. Like, Microsoft usually has very high market share and not necessarily a super high quality product until many, many, many revisions in. But I think this one is definitely saying the quality is there. Now we just need to figure out the right mix and figuring out how to get it to market and have people really consider the device and see if it can tie into the whole Windows ecosystem. So, you know, with having all the strong connections with SkyDrive and Windows 8 and all that good stuff, it should be pretty good.
Right. I mean, plus they come in some really cute colors.
Yeah, I think it's the colors. That's clearly what's gonna make.
I mean, that's
difference.
What finally got my friend to switch.
Yeah, so. Of course. Yeah, it wasn't. It had nothing to do with you. It was just like, hey, check out. This is a different color.
Right. Look, it's fuchsia. Use it. Next. So in exciting news, Microsoft has went out and plucked up a real, genuine, bona fide television executive to work for us, other than me.
Of course, other than you.
Other than me. And so we plucked up, I believe it was Nancy Tellin?
Yep.
Right?
Yep, she's a former CBS exec, and she's now going to start working with the Xbox division, right?
Yeah, and she's, just a little bio here, she's greenlit shows like CSI, King of Queens, tons of others, just to rattle off a few. I mean, this woman has got a resume, and she's going to help sort of relaunch Xbox as an interactive content home.
Yeah, I thought that this was a really impressive move by Microsoft. Like, we've had like the digital platform for quite some time, and we've talked time and time again on Ping about how, you know, how the Xbox isn't just a hardcore gaming platform, and that, you know, we're reaching out to all these different audiences, and that video is actually the top consumption on the Xbox itself. So it's not just for games, but we need to start bringing some video content to them. We've done that with Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Video and HBO Go, and now we're looking to get actual original content that is that's now going to be built specifically for the Xbox platform.
Yeah, and I actually had a chance. One of the sort of interactive gaming television things that they're talking about is this Nat Geo TV, National Geographic TV. And I had a chance to play it at E3 last year, And it's really, really cool. So essentially, you're watching a television program, a National Geographic television program, that at times turns into a game that you're participating in, and you become a bear, and you become a ram, and you become a wolf. And then it sinks back into the program that, again, is more educational about the animals and the environment. So it's a really, really sort of fun, I mean, obviously pointed towards kids at this level, but a really fun way and seamless way to incorporate, you know, your gaming with your sit-down edutainment. And I'd love to see more of it, and I think that's the plan.
Yeah, I think that this is interesting from a couple perspectives. One is just taking traditional media and giving it a new distribution point. So very linear progression where we want to have, you know, just like a typical, you know, 22-minute or 30-minute story and interlace some advertisements in there. But there's no engagement or interactivity with the audience. It's just, you know, content that you just sit there and watch.
Right.
But I think by trying to build original content, we can start making bets and try and have non-linear programming so there can be interactive programming so people can start either interacting with their Xbox through Kinect or a controller, or perhaps have like some type of social feed through a Twitter or Facebook and try and have the audience choose the path through some types of voting so that there'd actually be like maybe an episode and a half of content that gets created, but you still only see about 22 minutes of that story because you're constantly choosing what the next step would be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the most exciting things about this is the fact that the studios will be based in Los Angeles, where Paul is, so maybe we can get him a better backdrop than his dirty white walls.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome, and especially with things like Xbox Smart Glass, I think that depending on the types of things that my company Mythly will be doing, I think that may be something interesting to us over the, you know, 6 to 12 month time horizon.
Nice plug.
So I know, right?
Next. All right, so a few weeks ago, we had one of our most heated, controversial, like, talked about stories, which, of course, was the launching of the new mouse. I mean, that was just one of our hottest stories. And so this week, we're going to try to top that with a story about our new keyboard.
Holy cow, a new keyboard. Amazing.
That's right. But actually, this one is a lot more interesting to me, and for several reasons. I think it's called the Sculpt Comfort Keyboard. Is that right?
I'm not actually sure on the exact name of the keyboard. I was more interested that we're linking to a site called legitreviews.com.
That's
so,
right.
I mean,
it's
these
legit,
reviews
yo.
Have to be legit.
It's legit. Yo. That's my homeboy's site. Anyway, the thing about this keyboard is it's obviously optimized for Windows 8. So a bunch of the functionality inherent and native to Windows 8 will have hotkeys and be configured to, you know, perform at most optimal level. And now they've tried to redesign the keyboard in the past. Does anyone remember that, like, broken keyboard, that split one?
The natural keyboard. I love that.
Oh, I hate that. I'm like going back to hunting and pecking when I type on that. How do you even do that?
Well, I don't know. I just learned how to type like 120 words a minute on it, so it was just really comfortable.
And do you currently use one?
No, I currently use a laptop, which unfortunately has just a standard keyboard, so my hands aren't that comfortable. But once my stuff arrives, then yeah, I'll go back to using the split keys.
So at your desk, when you had a desk at Microsoft, back when you were gainfully employed, did you have a split keyboard?
Yeah, I had split keyboard and the health insurance.
Well, one of those things you will soon have again.
Yeah, so this keyboard, this new one, is called the Sculpt Comfort Keyboard, and there is some interesting ergonomics at play here. Like they do have a little bit of angle. They don't have like the full split as they had in the past. So I think that it's still a little bit more comfortable for your hands. But they did some interesting research where they said that the top three keys that people type on a keyboard. Number one is the space bar. Number two is the letter E. Mm-hmm. And number three is the backspace key. So what they did is they also realized that 90% of people only use their right thumb when they're hitting the space bar.
Right.
So they split the space bar into two. One on the right-hand side is a space bar. On the left-hand side is a second backspace key.
I love it. I love it. This feels really natural to me.
I hate that. Like, that will drive me nuts for two reasons. One is I hit the space bar with my left thumb, so I'm apparently in the 10% minority.
Right.
And two is, even if I tried to use my right thumb, like, I'm afraid, like, I would hit both of them at the same time, so it would, like, cancel out either the last letter or the space. But I'm sure with the research that they did, they figured out some way to make this this good. I'm very afraid that with a
non-standard keyboard like that. I'm super excited for it. I'm actually looking forward to it because I spend a lot of time. I only use my right thumb to space, and then I mess up a lot, so I have to constantly go up here and hit back. To have it right here, it just feels natural. It feels right. It feels like the way it was intended to be.
Yeah, I think the challenge with that is, like, it's also very non-standard, so if you're typing, like, I probably only type on my keyboard about 80 or 90% of the time, and I'm, like, on other people's keyboards or borrowing laptops or at other, you know, workstations somewhere, so then I would learn a habit that wouldn't be able to be used in other areas.
Well, maybe it will become standard. You have to, you know, every journey starts with a single step, Paul.
Yeah, the journey of 1,000 miles does indeed begin with getting in your car and filling up with gas.
Yeah, that's what I meant. All right, everybody, so before we go, Paul wanted to do a shout-out to some of the people who actually were upset and didn't want him to go, because there was at least a few of you, right, Paul?
Yeah, I know. There were actually quite a few comments, so I am amazed at the outpouring of support from the Channel 9 community, so thanks a lot for missing me. Especially those people that said that they would take my position, or that they would like people like Ben the PC guy or Scott Hanselman to take over, which I think both would be interesting candidates. But there were a couple fun ones. I think John Van SNES says, "Who cares so long as Laura stays?"
That's my boy.
And
that's legit,
and
yo. That's a legit review right there.
And Horny Goatweed understands that I'm now part of a super secret startup.
Yes, you are.
So clearly he's a long time visitor. And then, of course, some random dude, he seems all tore up about this, even though I think in previous episodes he was like, "I don't understand the big deal behind the show. They just seem to talk all the time." And Dentaku, who I think we sent a connect to long ago, thinks that I've made boatloads of dollars from supersettrombone.com.
Yes, that is true.
That's not true. I've actually only lost about 30 to 40 hours of my life to that site, and there's
priceless.
$0 of revenue. Yep, priceless, exactly. But anyway, I just want to say thanks, everybody, and I hope to keep contributing to Ping whenever we can.
All right, well, this works out well. Get back to the sun and the bathing beauties and the Hollywood starlets, and I'm going to go have lunch with some Microsoft dudes. See you next week. Hey, I hate it when you're not here.